Gosh, stop smoking that shit there, bud.
Oh, I haven't done a Baltimore accent for a while.
It's all over the news since the our bridge fell down. Hello, and welcome to the Erasable Podcast. This is episode 209. I'm Johnny Gambro on hosting duty tonight, joined, of course, by my Capital cohorts, Andy Wellfleet and Tim Wassum. Hey, guys.
Hello. Hello.
Happy Monday.
Yeah. Happy first episode back after 10 years. It makes it sound like we took a 10-year break.
Yeah. Happy 11th like year.
Yes. Happy 11th year.
Our podcast probably has a changing voice if it's male. And maybe a little shadow of a mustache.
I mean, it is a podcast, so I think that this podcast is male.
Yeah. And then by default, a little when two adult men's
two or more adult men love each other very much,
love their own opinions very much. Is that what it is? Like the
yeah, they get together and form a podcast.
Three of them, they can do it for a decade.
Yeah,
there should be a joke like, you know, like a group of crows is called a murder, and like, what do you call a group of white men? Podcast hosts.
Podcast.
Okay, yep. That's a really good t-shirt in the making, Tim. That's awesome. So if it feels like you've been listening to us rattle on for years and years about pencils, paper, sharpeners, notebooks, movies, music, like our guitars, and how much we all enjoy caffeine, that's because it has been 10 years. As we mentioned, it's been 10 years of Erasable. So we were thinking, what should we do to sort of mark this milestone, especially since we just recently did a big milestone for 200 episodes where we did a really cool extended Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So instead of getting mushy and, you know, a little too self-introspective, we thought we would talk to some folks that have sort of been a part of Erasable since the beginning. But speaking for myself only, there are times in our regular podcast with the three of us where people talk over other people, which is to say I talk over you two. So having, you know, several guests on
here. Nobody else talks over Johnny.
Yeah, it would be really hard.
Sorry.
So what we did was we came up with five questions and we sent them to four different guests in alphabetical order by last name. Brad Dowdy, Kate Elgin, Leslie Herger and Caroline Weaver. And then we recorded a short interview with them. Just sort of chat with them and get answers to the questions or responses to our questions. So for tonight, what we were going to do is go through each question and sample some of the answers and then chat about them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, go Mystery Science Theater 3000 on them. So for Patreon people, you can see our shadows underneath the Google document.
Johnny looks like what did you say, a tired Santa?
Yeah.
With a frazzled ponytail?
Yeah. My beard grows up to like right under my eyes.
Oh, boy.
It's coming out a lot of different shades of white. I feel like when the podcast came in, I did have mostly red beard.
Yeah.
Sad face.
So, beard, but I still had gray head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that when you were like 12.
I was born like this.
So you guys want to jump into the first question?
Yeah.
So first question is, I'll read this one. You are a huge part of Erasable's history, which is why we wanted to talk to you. Can you tell us why Erasable is your very, very favorite pencil podcast in the whole wide world?
I mean, you've had me on as a guest a couple of times, so, you know, there's that. But honestly, it's one of the few podcasts that I've listened to every episode of and continue to tune into. When I was doing work from home and I wasn't driving anywhere, I just, my podcast player just kept clogging up, and I had at one point like 200 episodes, and I just purged all of them because I primarily listen and always listen to podcasts either on my commute, like on the bus or the train or in the car, and all of a sudden I wasn't driving anywhere, so I just never listened to podcasts except Erasable. Like, I'd be puttering around in the kitchen or doing chores, and Erasable's was always something that I continued to listen to. So I purged everything except for Erasable and Pen Addict and a couple of others.
Oh, if I don't know anyone else who can claim that they listen to every episode. So, like, big hug. And big hugs to everyone else who's done that. I haven't.
Well, I'll just have to say I'm partial to the host. I mean, we go way back when I first started with the Pencil Store. The podcast was around before the Pencil Store, but you and Andy came in together and it was very memorable, and it was immediately this like welcoming into this community that I didn't know existed, and it was like hyper niche. And pencil people are just really specific people. And I'm really glad that you guys have stuck around and that you've created this like community for that. Because I can't tell you, I can tell you, because you know how weird it is to try and weird out about a pencil to somebody, just like go off on what you like about a pencil or what you know about it. Because like my coworkers see the line of pencils behind me because I have them displayed and it's like on camera when I'm on Zoom calls. And they're like, what is that about? And I have to like rein it in, because at some point light leave their eyes because they're like, oh, she can talk about this a lot. So basically boiling it back down to your question, you guys are the best podcast in the world because you've created this hyper niche community and you leaned into it and you've like dug into every little corner facet of it and you've done it for a really long time now, and that's awesome.
Thank you. There are a few people in my life where I've sort of geeked out over pencils and they give me that glazed over look, and then I find out later that they actually got the bug. And they'll open their bag and I'm like, I didn't give those to you. Where'd those come from? Like, they're super into it.
It's true. Like, there's a point at which you kind of have to stop talking. But once they know there's like a layer to peel back besides just like yellow pencils, people get intrigued really easily.
Erasable is my most favorite pencil podcast in the whole entire world because I just adore the three hosts. They are funny and relatable and charismatic and smart. And I just really admire the courage that it takes to create something for such an incredibly niche audience. And I mean, from a selfish perspective, I just love Erasable because my business could never have existed without you guys. I created something that I didn't know there was a market for. I was just naive and crazy and did it anyway. And then when I discovered you guys, I remember when it happened, I was on vacation in Costa Rica. It was when my website had launched and before I was going to open the physical shop. And you guys found out about my website, and all of a sudden I had a bajillion orders and I was on vacation just freaking out because I didn't know what to do. And I had been aware of a Erasable podcast. I didn't understand how vast the community was, and I was too sheepish and afraid to reach out. And so I just didn't. I just like waited until somebody found out. And boy, was I grateful that somebody did. I think it was Mike Dudek. I think I have him to credit for connecting us originally. But yeah, I feel like together we got to do a lot of amazing things together.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that happened when we started the podcast, when people were listening to it. We're like, there are more than a dozen of us? Like, cool.
Yeah, it's amazing with neat, very niche things that I think in many cases that even outside of pencils, you don't, when nobody has created a community for that thing, once somebody does, I guess the gratitude that comes along with that for the other people who thought they were alone and loving that niche thing is just, it's just so vast and incredible. And I am so grateful to you guys for creating a space for that.
Y'all just found each other, but it's because of the three of y'all together make something that no one else could. And I mean, and that's like obvious when you say it out loud, right? It's like the three of you. And like, it's, you know, that grouping, but the way y'all talk about things and the information you share and the care you give to the listeners, right? Like y'all very listener focused and, you know, make sure you're wanting to, you know, make the best product out there for the listeners to hear you talk about pencils because, again, like you said before, that's not a normal thing. Like, these aren't words that come out of people's mouths very frequently, right? Hey, let's do a podcast about pencils, right? Yeah. And then the topics you have to talk about is like, you know, like Johnny breaking down like a pencil sharpener to like the nth degree. Like, this is not normal in the best way possible, right?
Yeah.
So that the three of y'all have your own individual tastes, but they come together in just kind of like this perfect setting that allows you to each have these conversations about something that we all love. People that are listening to this clearly like love this stuff, right? So yeah, it's super unique that you found each other and are able to talk about this super nerdy niche topic and have it going for 10 years. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's amazing. So it just comes down to y'all. Y'all are just really, really awesome people, and that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just, you know, we found each other to sort of make this podcast, but like we've been doing it for 10 years because, like, you know, podcasting brought us together, but 10 years made us friends. I don't know what the right.
Well, I mean, it's still fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I think with other people, I would not be still enjoying myself.
Yeah.
I always have this line. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tim.
I always have this line when I'm talking about the podcast with people and I'm like, no, you know, like imagine if you were into anything. I've talked about it on here before, like whatever you're into. If you're like super into running, you could talk about running constantly, right? Like you could, whatever, you can dig into anything to have a podcast, and no matter how like seemingly niche the topic is. But then like having this conversation, also talking to somebody this weekend, I like pulled out that line and then I like realized, like, okay, if you're talking about yourself, that's definitely true, but doing it with other people like requires something else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that is just genuinely liking each other and like looking forward to talking to each other and getting along and finding each other interesting and kind and all that stuff. So it's like, yeah, you could talk about anything, but like the fact of the matter is like we don't talk about pencils all the time.
Yeah.
Because we just like talking to each other and because we genuinely like want to fill each other in all sorts of things. And I think that that's like, that's part of it. So, I mean, yeah. It's not like we're so good at, you know, there are people who know more about this stuff than we do, but we just really enjoy talking to each other. And then like, that's like just been such a great like cornerstone for what we,
yeah,
what we talked about.
Yeah, it's been interesting listening to some of the early episodes recently because we did talk about pencils a lot more. Like,
yeah,
you know, like our favorite ones and like what has the best graphite and what has the best eraser and the best ferrule and like on all these things. And I feel like, yeah, we've definitely broadened the scope in the last 50, 80 episodes or so. But also just because, you know, we have a lot more interest than just that. So we can still kind of frame it as pencils.
I wonder if we could like, I wish there was a way, and I don't know if we have like what we have access to transcripts of, but if we could pick an episode, like where each of us picks an episode where the other person says some like really strong opinion and then, like measures it against what they would say now, that would just be funny. Like, you don't know what it's going to be. So like, you know, Johnny and I are like, oh, we went back and heard that Andy said this about, you know, whatever the test scoring 100, or we just like say like, do you remember what you said about this? Like, what, how do you feel about it now? And you like give your answer. And then it's like, well, here's what you said. And then we can play the clip.
Yeah. And Tim, you were raging on fountain pens for like the first 6 years of the podcast.
And then I sort of stopped talking about it. Right. But somebody else took up the baton.
Yeah.
Fountain pens are stupid.
Fountain pen. I don't even know.
Definitely did get to a point where I was just like, this is so fussy. Like, this is so annoying. Like, I still use them like almost every day, but just like got to that point. But
don't make
pace buds change every 10 years or whatever that is. You know,
it's true.
I guess.
I was really into
writing instruments too.
I was really into triangular pencils for a very long time. And yeah, I don't think I have any kind of out there right now.
I feel like they're one of those things that they're a really good idea. Like, oh yeah, it's going to help me hold it correctly. And then you remember that you have to rotate pencils to get that really good sharp spot.
Yeah.
So you're constantly rotating. Well,
yeah.
It's like, ah, why is this faceted? For me, I feel like a certain level of, faith in the team. Like if one of you was suggesting an episode and I'm like, man, I would never have thought of that, but I trust him. This is going to be fun. And then it's fun. I know it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I feel like you know, on an interpersonal level.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know, like playing for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've all recorded an episode where it's like, man, I don't give a crap about that thing, but
surprisingly,
the other two guys are into it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. I would have to go back through the list. That would be interesting too. Go back and see if there was one where I was like, oh yeah, I remember not being terribly excited about that one. But I don't know. Yeah. One doesn't even come to mind, but like, I can't even remember having the feeling once of being like beforehand of just being like, oh, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
bad idea. It's like anytime any of us like suggest an episode, everybody's just kind of like, yeah, cool. Sounds good.
There
like,
is. Do it this week or next week. Let's do it.
There is an episode of Dot Grid that I recorded with Real Will that we were trying to figure out how to talk about sleep, like getting good sleep. And we were just like 15 minutes in and I was just like, you know, neither of us are really experts in this and we have no idea what we're talking about. He's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. So we just stopped recording at that point. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you want to move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Do one of you guys want to read it? So I'm not like talking all the
time. Yeah. There are over 200 episodes to choose from. But can you tell me what your favorite episode is and why?
I'm going to be a little bit selfish. I'm going to have to choose the April Fool's episode that I did with a couple of the Punzel ladies, Caroline and Alex, in which we interviewed Brad Dowdy.
Oh, that one was awesome.
It was really funny. I still laugh when I think about that night. And yeah. And how just like silly it was that we were like, LOL, this is a pen podcast now.
Yeah, that was the first time that we did an April Fool's and we did it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my kids and I did one.
Remember it was on the podcast? No, that's not right.
I don't think so.
I think I was on it officially, like properly before I was on an April Fool's episode.
Those are fun. We have to put one of those together this year.
That is a really, really, really hard question. And I wish I had a week to like go back and re-listen to a lot of the ones that I have loved and some of the ones that I've missed. I'm going to pick an episode that I was part of, which was, I forget which year this was. It was an April episode. It was an April Fool's episode where I think it was me and Caitlin and maybe one other person. And we did an episode for you guys where we talked about pens. And we talked to Brad. We called Brad Dowdy. And we talked to him about pens. And it was an April Fool's episode that was not about pencils. It was so fun. And I remember where we were when we did this. It was like kind of late at night because that was just when we could record. And we were in like the weird, like dingy fulfillment office that we used to work from on Forsyth Street in the early days of the pencil shop. And we like went to dinner beforehand and got a nice bottle of wine. And we like all crowded around the little like Yeti microphone and just could not like restrain our giggles. It was so funny and so fun. And I'm so glad that you let us do that.
Yeah, the April Fool's episodes I just love, and I like, we had such a good tradition going for a long time, and eventually it just got really hard to like top, because I feel like we built and we built. Like the first one was just us like joking around, and then like, you know, we had the one where Caroline and Caitlin just hosted the episode and had Brad on as a guest, and yeah, and that was really good. And then we had like a few years where we just like gathered some random people together. Like, I think, didn't we have one that was like Les and Toffer and Mike Hagen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had one where we had Les and Lenore and Dade, which of course, you know, led to the, I think we're pretty proud of that one, led to the creation of a whole new podcast.
Yeah.
And like there was one where we had like the children on, and I think there was one where we had like our spouses on, and that they were great, but man, it just like that got so hard to plan. And like try to like innovate there.
Yeah. So. I think the last one was 2001. Is that right?
Was what?
I think the last one was 2001 where
2001.
My oldest, I'm sorry, 2021.
Okay. 2021.
The oldest and I pretended.
Johnny, 10 years. Yeah. Not 30.
We took it over and made it about pens, and then you guys called in and the kids called in.
Yeah.
And like it took me an entire week to like put that together because I don't know how to edit audio right.
Yeah. I thought you did a good job. It was just a lot. So If anybody listening has a great idea for like an April Fool's episode, like send it to me privately, and then we can, you know, we can figure out how to put that together. But I had so much fun doing, and also it's hard because it falls really close to, you know, International Pencil Day, and you know we're all just like partying so hard from that.
Yeah, I'm usually hungover on April 1st.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
2 days later.
Yeah.
Hungover on coffee and cedar.
Well, all of the episodes that I'm in or on, of course. I'm being a little sarcastic.
Those were all good ones.
I think so. You know, talking about composition books and bookbinding and art and all of it. We talked about so many different things.
Yeah.
I really dig your special guest episodes, like the zine episode with Ed Kemp, Marginalia with Caitlin, or any of the episodes where you dive deep into a topic. I just get really engaged in how y'all talk about stuff. I also really enjoy your conversations around Musgrave. It's really nice. Like, I remember the early days of like RSVP and you know, the Erasable podcast, where we were all kind of joking about Musgrave's website, and it was kind of like, this website is from like 1995 and it hasn't been upgraded since then. You can't place an order, but can you? You've got to make a phone call to order from Musgrave. And watching them go from like a gag website to what it is now, and their amazing packaging and all of that, like having you guys talk about all of those things and is just really nice. I enjoy that.
I mean, I have to count the one with Ed as one of my favorites, because I started making zines and then making a little bit of money doing that, and then learned how to make books, and now I do that all day. So like, Ed changed my life. Thanks, Ed.
I think I honestly
have a job.
I think Ed's show was, just like definitely really influential. Like, we had Plumbago before that, but at the same time, I think that like, kind of the sheer, Johnny, like just what you produced after that was just really amazing. So
a few people talked to me and they said that after that episode, they were like, Ed is awesome. I make zines now. Like, yeah. Cool. Let's trade.
Yeah. Also having Ed on, didn't that lead to, romance?
Yeah. Ed and his, I don't know if we're supposed to use real names, but Ed and his special friend met because of that episode.
Nice.
And travel the country together now. Just like, awesome.
Just doing a merry band of roving zinesters.
Yeah. I mean, the entire existence of our podcast, I think, is justified by that.
Yeah.
So the rest of it now is just gravy and fame.
And the money.
It's definitely doing it for the money at this point.
Definitely.
It funds my ink percentages. So, Tim, do you want to read the next one?
Yeah, sure.
Even though it's kind of long.
So 10 years is a long time. When Erasable started, smartphone saturation wasn't really complete around here. We weren't like totally engrossed in all that. And now we've got apps and smartwatches and 5G and AI and all this. These elements of technology have changed so much over the last decade. And so we asked them, how has your relationship with analog tools like pencils and paper evolved or not since 2014?
So are you guys telling me that we could have been just using AI to like record the show?
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Like, yeah, that's true.
This isn't actually us. Like, we haven't talked in, when did ChatGPT come out? Like 18 months ago?
There is no 10-year history. AI is time traveled and gone back and made all this for us.
Oh, we don't exist.
Yeah, we're not even real people.
Yeah.
I've been dead for 7 years.
Podcasts or like these guests that we have are fake, and then everything they've put out is fake. Like, CW pencils never existed. Yeah.
Somebody shows up and just like, it's Johnny with a really long beard, and somebody's like, like, that's a name I haven't heard for a long time.
Yeah. I'm playing David Priest. What did he say? The joke is there's no joke.
Yeah.
The joke is there's no joke. That's right.
Yeah, it's it is amazing how much has changed in the world of pencils in 10 years. And I mean, outside of like my experience with my business, just looking at it objectively, there are many products that no longer exist that maybe did then. But I would argue that there are more new products now than there are ones that we've lost as far as products in the pencil world go. And I just am in awe of how many things exist that have kind of elevated the cool factor of analog tools. And I mean, I'll stand by the thing I've always preached for as long as I've been interested in this stuff and talking about it publicly, which is that the deeper we get tangled up in technology, the more we're going to crave these things. And for me, that has absolutely been the case, especially now that my job is quite a bit less analog than it used to be. I find myself really wanting to sit down with a well-sharpened pencil and my journal every single morning in a way that I maybe didn't 10 years ago. And in a way that I don't think is so bad, I think it just is becoming more and more and more of a novelty. And because of that, we're able to glorify the objects that we're using in a way that I think is really lovely.
Yeah, it's super interesting because in like relation to the podcast being 10 years old and talking about pencils, or in my case, pens, for that many years, that moves pretty slow. But technology over 10 years that's like, you know, 3, 4, 5 different iterations of the world has changed in that same span, mm-hmm. right? Where the stationary world, it's not static, but, you know, we have a lot of, you know, new makers, a lot of people still being very interested into it. And from my perspective, I've never loved stationery more than I do now. And I don't see that changing. Like, it comes up every now and then over the past few years, it's come up, you know, the question of, well, if you do it for a job, does it lose some of the passion that you had just for like the newness or the creative aspects of it? For me, it never has, because it's such an ingrained part of who I am as a person. It just so happens that I'm also able to do these other things, right? So if I didn't have the podcast, if I didn't have, you know, these other outlets that I have now, I would still be doing literally all the exact same things I would be doing right now. So while my technology usage has certainly gone up, but my analog usage has not gone down, I don't think, in any measurable way. So I don't know, like, maybe the math doesn't math when I say that, but but it feels like from a stationary perspective, those are the tools I'm grabbing first to do the things that my brain needs,
or to do everything, you know, in some ways. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's every day you're using these things. That's one of the special things about the stuff that we talk about. It's just like, they're so ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people we had that episode where Andy went to Japan recently, and it's like, they don't talk about it as much there, because it's just like accepted that, like, no, we should have the right tools. You know, they've got the right thing. Yeah. They got the right stuff. They got good quality stuff. So they don't have to obsess over it like we do, because we're finding it in little corners of the internet. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's super interesting to think about. And I try to think, it's like, well, has anything changed in like how I do things? Mm-hmm. And if anything, like, I've never been like a one pen, one notebook type of person. Right. Mm-hmm. So if that was the case, maybe I would, you know, have a different answer to the question. But I just love exploring the tools. Yeah. I love hearing the stories of the people who make them. You know, mm-hmm. I like being involved in this, and I don't get the same passion out of like the technology stuff as, you know, but like other people do. Like, hey, I love, you know, I love my computer and I love my phone, and they help me do my job. Yeah. But I'm super glad to have these analog options, because that it's literally just how I've always been. Like, I would not be any different. Even if I wasn't sitting here talking to you today, I'm very confident in saying that.
I really loved Brad's answer. I you know, we were in sync in that answer, just that like technology isn't going anywhere and we're using it even more and more, and it's allowing us to do all these amazing things. But I think I love my analog tools, my pencils, my pencil sharpeners, my fountain pens. I love it all more than I did 10 years ago, Which I think comes naturally when you learn about stuff, right? And that's what we do like every week is like learning about new things and realizing there's different variations on stuff and different ways to use things. So it's just kind of like an, you know, more you dig into a simple thing, there's so many sort of like profound directions you could go.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just really like profound. I mean, Brad has a Twitch, right? Like he plays video games on there. He has a podcast. He does blog still. Like I think, I don't know about you guys, but like, I think I agree with Brad in that, like, it's really fun and interesting to play with like communication technology, right? Like it's pencils and pens and paper and Twitch and blogs. It's all just ways to just like talk to people and give a message and spread a thought. And it doesn't matter if it's like one-to-one with a pencil or if it's just like, you know, on a video streaming service, it's all just like super fun and interesting. And it's a puzzle to figure out, right? Like how best to kind of tailor your message for the medium that you're using. The medium is the message, they might say.
Yeah. And the whole time, like Caroline was saying, there's a lot more stuff out now than there was 10 years ago in the analog front too, not just technology. I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yes.
Yeah. How would you guys answer that question?
Mine would be very similar to Brad. I mean, and probably is influenced by the fact that I talked to him about it. And so he planted it in my head. And I think that's just like, hey, it's exactly right. I mean, I don't think it's changed because of technology. So that's one thing about that question. Like technology hasn't replaced any part of it. My use of these different things has changed for the most part, like simplified. Like I just kind of went through the process of trying a million different things and then gradually narrowing down to the things I really like, you know.
Yeah.
Using fewer of them.
Yeah. I definitely, just given all of the technology that is out there, like I buy a lot of electronic gadgets, right? And I also have a lot of analog stuff. So it definitely kind of like makes me contemplate my relationship with stuff, with objects and, you know, stuff that I have. And I feel like as I've acquired notebooks and as I've acquired pens and little video game consoles and things with a screen, like and also as I've moved a lot and kind of like changed up my space, I think a lot about the stuff that I have. And the thing that is often like last on my list to sort of like call or get rid of is pencils, because they bring me joy, they make me happy, and they also don't take up that much space. So I say as I'm like running out of places to put all of my Blackwing boxes.
I mean, as far as things go, they're not that huge.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to, you know, TVs and Nintendo Switches keyboards and stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Tim, I just pre-ordered another keyboard. No. Oh, God.
You have a one-in, one-out policy yet?
Or... I probably should, yeah. I should probably figure that one out. If anybody wants to see a cool keyboard, go to knob.design. knob.design. It has knobs on it.
Be careful with the spelling. Yeah.
Yeah. Knob design.
Yeah. Yeah. When we started the podcast and people would talk about, pencils are my refuge from technology, I'm like, dude, why don't you just stop using your technology so much? But I feel like so oversaturated, I really started to hate technology like I used to. And I view all my analog tools as, you know, like, the analog equivalent of Animal Crossing. It's like, this is peaceful. This is a thing I'm just going to do and wind down.
Yeah.
This is me time, or time hanging out with my kids.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about this last episode, but I know that like, as far as technology goes, I've really been just like reconsidering my relationship with social media, just because there's so much of it and just some of the stuff in my life. Like I'm really, really trying to use Instagram less. Like I've actually, my use of the Erasable Podcast Instagram, I've been using that more just because like my own personal Instagram, I kind of shut off, and I've been trying to use Twitter/X or whatever we're calling it less. But I also have been using Mastodon and Blue Sky more, because they're, you know, ish kind of like Twitter, but just a much more friendly and more kind of like niche space. So there's just so many more of those options now, which can be good just for, you know, you have more of a choice now, but you can be a little bit more intentional with it. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm still just like playing around with it, but definitely That's a big piece of technology that I think I've changed in the last year or two.
Yeah, I've been enjoying Reddit more than Facebook because there's so much drama on Facebook because, like, you know the person and you know their issues, you know what they're going to say. But I have no idea who these people are on Reddit. Yeah. So if they don't like something, I don't care.
Did I tell you that I don't even know? So a long time ago, somebody added me as a mod for the r/pencils.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just in the last, like, 3 weeks, I have been removed as a mod from r/pencils. I have no idea why. I think it's because I haven't participated, like, as a moderator in forever long because I don't know how. But I just never cared to learn. But I'm just like, did somebody have like a secret conversation?
And they're
just like,
well,
they're just like, well,
a moderator for 7 years.
Yeah, seriously. And I've never checked my mod mail. And I'm guessing somebody was just like, oh, we should actually probably have moderators who actually do stuff here. And they were just like, well, please out.
You were like the honorary CEO for the Pennsylvania
list. Moderator emeritus.
You just sit over there and look pretty.
Exactly. And I definitely didn't do anything. So
if whoever runs that is listening to our podcast, you heard any feelings.
Just no, I didn't. Definitely. It kind of made me relieved because I always was like feeling a little guilty that I didn't do anything. And now I don't have to worry about that.
They sign you up for it. And you, it's like, I'm imagining that. It's how like, long ago was it? Like 5 years ago? You're like, oh. And then 5 years later, you're like, oh, thank God. Like, it's like one big. One big exhale.
Yeah. Just, you know, been collecting my r/pencils moderator paycheck and not doing anything. So, yeah.
Cool. So I'm going to jump on to the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know that we had to ask each of our guests what their favorite pencil was. And we got some very specific and very philosophical answers.
I just like don't feel like I can pick one favorite. I do still really, really just love a Tombow Mono 100F. As far as like writing goes, that for me is my most compatible pencil because I write kind of heavy-handed and it's just so delicious and smooth and sexy and like well-finished and sharpens perfectly every time. And I just love using it, especially with an eraser cap on the end because I kind of like the dichotomy of this very sophisticated pencil with just like a dumb arrowhead cap on the end. And
but
and
those are the best really, ones.
They're the best ones. And I really like the weight of it on the end of the pencil. It just feels really good. But it's baseball season. So I broke out my secret stash of baseball scoring pencils that I saved. And I've been using them a lot because it's baseball season and they are just really nice to write with. The later version of it that we did with just like the natural finish with the shiny red foils. And those Generals erasers are pretty good. I'm just always delighted to use them. And of course, I don't care if you include this. I'm sure it doesn't fit at all. But because I'm opening a shop now that sells products made within 100 miles of New York City, we're carrying so much Generals.
Oh,
not
that's
just
awesome.
Pencils, but we are also bringing back the baseball scoring pencil. Uh-huh. And
that's
I
fantastic.
I'm so stoked. We're not having an online store, but I will find a way to, even if it's just through my own personal website, to sell this pencil online. But yeah, I'm really excited to get to bring back the baseball scoring pencil.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That is coming soon.
It's definitely changed over time. Like I say, like I'm going to give you an answer, but like just in general, like over time, my pencil, like my wood case pencil love came like probably even after like my fountain pen, mm-hmm. like fascination. Once I started getting fountain pens, I was always a mechanical pencil fan, right? Because my whole goal in life was to write tiny and I couldn't really get that with a wooden pencil. So those came later in life when I found like the Tombow Mono 100 was my discovery pencil. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I can tell the difference between this pencil and just like whatever I picked up at school or anything like that. So, sure. you know, there's probably like five or so, like, I don't know, I could probably name five or so like classic pencils that would kind of fit in that Tombow Mono 100 mold. But I did pick one. Well, I cheated a little bit. I picked two. Mm-hmm. But I think in the process of explaining the two, I think I've probably ended up on the one. So I was thinking of it. If I wanted to grab my notebook and write and like grab like a cool pencil, something I really enjoy, something I love. And, you know, there's so many, like, I don't have to tell you guys, but there's so many like tactile awesomeness with like wooden pencils. Like you get the right one and it fits just the style and the feel and the aesthetic and the way it writes on page. If I was picking like the special pencil to write the book, the Blackwing Eras 10th anniversary edition. So this was the first Eras that came out. And I think the idea or the conceit was that this would mostly mimic some of the classic ones in color and style, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Yeah. And the way they pulled this off, this is one of the coolest looking pencils. And it's got the extra firm core, which is also my favorite Blackwing core. This is one of those pencils like I just can't stop looking at, aside from it being just like awesome to use, right? So then I was thinking about when I was answering this question, I was like, like that's probably if I'm gonna pick up this to write, like if I was gonna journal at night or whatever, something like that, this is the one I'd pick. But I had a different answer. I was like, well, if I was going to the store or shopping online and I want to buy a dozen pencils, what dozen pencils would I want to like be in the pencil cup on my desk and live there? And I have to go with the Mitsubishi 9850.
Yeah.
I think that's one I would just grab like a dozen of these pencils and just go to town and just be freaking thrilled. I think it's that good of a pencil.
They're wonderful. Like, good choices.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about the
9850. Not exactly the same, but I really love the there's a later version of the Eras that has a little arrow on the ferrule, but I love all those arrow ones. And the 9850 is fantastic. And I one of my top five, and maybe like the one I would have a cup full, and I've got boxes of them, is the 98 is 9852 EW, like the natural barrel one, which they're pretty similar.
You actually got me on that, and I did buy a dozen of those as well.
I love them. They're all over my house. Right.
Yep.
It's still cheap.
So that's
like $8.
Yeah. So I could like, I enjoy using all kinds of other pencils, but like when I see those, like I'm just drawn to both of those pencils for anything I need.
I have learned a lot from working with kids, and kids who don't like, I work in a underprivileged neighborhood, where kids don't have a lot. And if I hand a kid a pencil, they don't care what the pencil is. Like some of them are discerning and they're like, no, I don't like that pencil. I want this one out of your pencil cup. but I have brought in like a lot of like my previously used pencils. I've purged a ton of my collection and I throw them into the pencil cups and I like to see which kids are like going for which pencils. I have like a fistful of Baron Fig Archers in there. And I've got a few kids that will seek out the Baron Fig pencil because they just like how that one feels on the paper that we use. But for me, whatever I have in hand, as long as it's soft and dark, I've been using a lot of Musgrave pencils. The Tennessee Reds are still at hand all of the time. And lately, I've been doing a lot of comics stuff with the kids. And so I've been using a ton of non-photo blue pencils. And for that, like, I ordered for work a bunch of the Staedtler non-photo blue and a couple of the Caran d'Ache. And I ordered the same thing for myself at home. And I really like the Caran d'Ache non-photo blue pencil because they both erase pretty well, but the Caran d'Ache has that soft, creamy texture that you always get with a Caran d'Ache pencil. I really try now to not get so caught up in the preciousness of my materials. I used to get so caught up in it, it would really stifle my art making. Now I'm really just trying to grab whatever is around. I still order too many cheap pens on Amazon and AliExpress and eBay. And I've been doing this flex nib and fude nib thing for sketching, which if you are into sketching, a fude nib is like magic. You get so much line variation out of one nib that it's just awesome.
It's been a while since I've like written so much with pencil that I have like a huge preference. But let me tell you this. I didn't used to feel this way, but I have really, really come around to Swiss wood pencils. And the number one reason is how little you have to sharpen them and how well they travel. Like, that pencil holds the f*** up. Sorry if you have to censor that.
You're fine. Yeah, I use one for marking stuff on book cloth because the point's really durable.
Yeah, yeah. That one's one I always actually like carry around with me.
Is this the brown bouillon cube smelling one?
That's the one.
You gotta have that one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's still so weird to me after all this time that it smells like that, because that's natural, right? Like they scent the wood? I don't remember.
I don't know, because they have those weird
They do have the perfumed one.
And they have this weird, what are they? I don't know what they call them. They would put out different sets. Yeah, but they're not really that wood. They just dyed other woods.
Yeah, yeah. No, those are all very strange.
I wonder if they still make those. It was always weird. Like, hey, here's a box of pencils we don't want you to use. And they're fake. What?
Yeah. I keep coming back to that one. Probably because that's just one that's out more than anything. But also, I don't have to like dig around for the right sharpener to use for it because it's always sharp.
Caroline's very specific, and I would expect no less from her.
You can picture it.
Yeah, that is a great pencil. I guess I'm a little surprised. I've never really been huge on those eraser caps, but I know that she is.
Oh man, the Papermate Arrow was the best. Remember when? Well, I'm older than you, but when we were little, the sort of part of the cap that goes around your pencil would always snap off, and then the arrows, they're like double reinforced there, so that never happens. And they're heavy, like you could really batter somebody with them.
I think that was the thing, is I've never, you know what, I should like get some and, you know, try it. It's been a long time since I used those caps, but I always thought they kind of threw the balance off.
Don't buy a box. I have some, I'll send you.
Oh, okay.
Because you can only buy them shopped, or at least... when I bought them last, you had to buy like a big box. Like,
he has a storage unit full of them.
I'm trying to move them. He's just desperate to.
It's a vintage army footlocker. It smells horrible.
Yeah.
You could probably use those things as like
feet erasers.
Rubber bullets, things. They are hefty.
And Brad's
gonna make one of those.
Brad's favorite is, definitely when it comes to the Eras, just like, man, you know, the Eras collection, I think, is just at this point the best thing that Blackwing's doing. Like, The Palomino Eras are so good, and like those vintage, like the ones that Brad likes, and even the ones with the arrows are just so good.
Those are the Van Dyke, style, like I love those. That's been win.
That's a toss up for me between the Arrow and the Van Dyke.
Yeah.
I have two that are very short in my cup right now.
Yeah.
They're racing.
Yeah. I know that we on our own talked about our favorite top five like recently, but is it still, you know, our favorite pencil still on point?
I don't remember what I said. I just go with the five I'm like, using right now, because I'm like, that must be my favorite if I'm using them.
Yeah.
I'm not that lazy, I don't think.
Yeah. Mine has stayed the same. Like, I'm pretty much settled into my crotchety old ways for the most part. I've got my favorite.
Oh, no. I've spent my morning using a Viarco Fine and Candy. Do you remember those? They sort
the
of were.
The Viarco
were? They were called the Fine and Candy. They were half one color, half another color.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe a third. And they had one they called the Nude. It was natural wood with gold at the end.
Okay.
And like, since they called it that, I always felt kind of weird using it. Like, this is like a dirty pencil. I feel guilty, but it's beautiful. I love it.
But I forgot about those.
I'm sure that wasn't on my list before.
Yeah.
It's got a very nice scritch to it.
Yeah. As Viarcos are wont to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Quality scritch.
Yeah. Quality scritch. I think, I mean, mine, honestly, out of everything, I think that's the thing that's been kind of most consistent is that Golden Bears are still my favorite pencil, even though I haven't used one for a while because I've just been, you know, trying out some Black Wings. I've been using lately this Hokusan from Japan that I got and still been using. But I think Golden Bears are still my favorite. I need to whip one out.
For me, like ever since the Blackwing Natural came out, I got like so excited about that. That like hasn't fallen from being my most used pencil, like for sure. Like ever since they came out. So those are firmly, and Palomino HB still up there. I don't use it as often because I just keep picking.
Oh, Tim, when I was moving and unpacking, I found an old California Republic Palomino HB that was the blue one with no eraser. That's just the cap on the end. And I just found it and I was so delighted. Like I just made a little like squeal of delight sound and be like, oh.
Yeah, it's like even nerdier archaeology.
Yeah, it's just right at the Steinbeck stage and it's just great. So,
delicious. Yeah.
Mwah. Chef kiss.
So with Les's answer, I like it. I dig it.
Yeah.
Because the last time we did the top five, I just picked the ones I'd been using, and like I'm lying, I am lazy. So sometimes the one I'm using is the one that's there because I don't feel like getting up to get another one, even if it's really wrong for the paper or whatever.
It's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like the one that's in your hand is often the one that is your favorite, and the one that's your favorite is the one that's in your hand, right? Like it's a chicken and egg situation.
Yeah, I think when did I do that? I did a zine with my favorite pencils, and that was the last one. I was like, really, my favorite pencil is this one. Because, why would I? And also, not just that it's your favorite because you're holding it, but if you have as many pencils as we do, if you're holding it, it's probably because you like it.
Yeah.
I hope.
Hopefully.
Sometimes the pencil I'm holding it because it's a pencil and my kids left it out and I'm throwing it in the trash can. So I'm a little more. A little more snobby, but I've thrown out fair share of garbage pencils that have made it into our house somehow. I'm like, I don't want to end up accidentally having to use that. No, in return, so I don't sound totally selfish, I keep them well supplied and very nice pencils and that they love. Yeah. They're Jerry Garcia Black Wings they're enjoying right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Henry had a chewed up, like literally chewed up Amazon Basics pencil, which is a pretty good pencil. Recently, I'm like, Henry, what are you doing with that? Like, you need pencils? Like, seriously.
I'm using it for home use and for office use and for school use. And
so I gave
it. I use it in the bathtub. I use it on the ceiling. I use it.
I don't know.
It's like the stationary version of like when your parents see you like with like a tear in your pants or something. Are you doing all right? You need like, can you get your, I don't know, silly example, but like where they come, they're like, you need some money or something? Like, are you doing okay? Do you need some better pencils? Like, I can hook you up.
I'm like, you just asked me for a Coke four times, but you won't ask me for pencils? I gave him his preferred pencil by the dozen, and I was like, take this back to school. Put it in the work pencil cup.
Yeah.
But around this time of year, the teachers are all running out of pencils, so I just keep a box, and then the spring sent it with one of the kids to school, like, hey, go give this to your teacher and become her favorite student today.
Yeah.
That's much more generous than my garbage can. I have done that. Actually, I used to like drop them just like, in a table in the middle of the place or whatever. But like now, like since I'm not teaching, like I definitely just throw them in the garbage.
I thought you were going to say you make your kids go through the garbage. Like, get in there, get a pencil. Like, did you lose your pencil? Dig around in that garbage can.
Yeah. I know the crappy. Oh, for at school. I thought you were talking about it's like, no. My kids at home, I throw away the pencil. I'm like, hey, remember that really terrible pencil you brought home?
Yeah.
Dig it out of the trash.
Yeah.
Okay, now throw it back in the trash.
Get back in there.
The new timeout. Get that piece of crap pencil out of there, and now you're going to use that for a week.
It's got mashed potatoes on it.
Lick it off.
Rosie would like that. She really likes potatoes. Oh, man. So
I threw away like 15 pounds of mashed potatoes yesterday.
That makes me cry.
Weirdest thing to say. I've never thought I would say that sentence out loud, and it has nothing to do with this episode, but you just made me think of it, because we went to like a family dinner, and like one of my relatives was like, okay, we got these mashed potatoes, we're moving out of this house, will you take them, just take what you want and then throw away the rest. I like walked around the corner and saw it, and it was like a full, like catering dish, like the big foil ones full of mashed potatoes. It was like, okay. So it would take me 3 weeks to get through all this.
Were they still like pretty warm?
Like when I threw them away?
No, when they gave them to you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man, I would have put my face in.
You like filled up a Yeti.
You're gonna
like,
say you put something else in there.
carrying it around town with you. It's like, wait 1 second. Just gonna hit these mashed potatoes real quick. Yeah.
Johnny, you look like you gained 5 pounds in the last 10 minutes. I did.
This is the kind of quality content they come to us for. Is when
all that good potato content,
all that mashed potato content.
Yeah,
it's where you get it.
Start calling junk pencils potato pencils.
There you go. tater pencil.
Tater pencil,
kind of like that. Yeah, this ass is the tater pencil. Throw it away.
Two string pencils. Oh, that could be like an entire zine. You could like crinkle cut pencils. Like after Henry's had it for a little while, he chews it up. And then steak fries would be like carpenter pencils.
So we can do a Cosmo quiz. That's just like, what is your favorite style of potato? Say about your favorite pencil.
What spiral kind of fries could be those like ridiculous those ones, Johnny, that you gave us, or like rubber one we had that just didn't work. It's like the curly fry.
Yeah,
Pringles. Pringles are just or like tater tots. Oh, tater tots are Wopax.
Oh, I was gonna say Pringles would be the Wopax.
Yeah.
They're very precise.
Wopax would be like the powdered mashed potatoes that come in the box.
Oh no, shut up. Those are great.
Those are a lot better.
It's in the same material.
Well, it's been 10 years. We are now pivoting to the potato podcast.
Tater pencils. Yeah. That's the new one.
Yeah. Oh, I would be happy to do an episode about potatoes. I'm a vegetarian. I eat a lot of potatos.
This might be the dumbest thing that's ever brought tears to my eyes from like laughing. Like, it's just like
potato podcast content.
Yeah.
So,
what were we talking about?
This
is a long journey. A long journey back to wherever we were about 5 minutes ago.
So, our last question.
Oh, Google. I'll do it. So, 10 years on, have we covered everything? Like, what would you say we should focus on? What we should talk about, and what we should examine going forward?
I would love to hear, more art making, but that's, you know, that's my focus. Like I'd like to hear y'all interview more artists that make art, whether it's with pencils or pencil adjacent things. How do people use their pencils? Like what kind of paper do they like? That art is my obsession. And I'd love to like hear you. Because I love how you all interview people and how you keep the conversation flowing. And I think that's like the way you all do this, I think just is wonderful. And I think I just look forward to hearing more from you, whether it's, you know, my hyper focus of art and art making and all of that, or whatever you choose to do.
I'd say, Not specifically, like you should keep doing exactly what you're doing, but I will say what I like the most about you and the show is the personalities that come out, right? We just don't get a news feed of items. We get Tim and Andy and Johnny, right? Like I get to hear from y'all. And even though like I'm lucky enough to know all of y'all personally and we've gotten together in person several times, it's when you have like that type of feeling from a podcast that you get to know the hosts, even though they might be talking about like a specific topic, like you understand where Tim's coming from or where Andy's coming from or where Johnny's coming from. So you should keep doing that. You should keep being you on the podcast. And I think that's the most important thing. I wouldn't change a thing.
I mean, there's just a like breadth of analog things you could and directions you could take it in, right? Like, when are you guys going on a road show and going around to stationery stores and like trying them all around the world? Maybe you're going to factories. Maybe, I don't know.
That would be cool. I think we had an open invitation to come check out Musgrave.
Oh, yeah?
Day.
I want to do that.
Yeah, I'm like, I've never wanted to live in Central Tennessee, but I might after that.
Yeah, wow. This. When I read your questions ahead of time, this was the one that really stumped me because I feel like you've talked about literally everything. Have you ever done an episode where you guys like try to make a pencil?
No.
I think that would be really, really fun, where you try to make a pencil or you just like gather all the materials. And I mean, of course, as we know from the very famous essay, I Pencil, it's like impossible to make a pencil. But I've done a couple of workshops in the past year or so where that's about how pencils, the history of how pencils are made. And I can't believe I never thought of this when I had a shop and a place to host something like this. But we did a lot of work and a lot of workshops with making the guts of a pencil by using that Viarco Art Graph, just like powdered graphite that's also water soluble. So it's a lot easier to clean up. Ooh. And just powdered clay and water. And you can make really, you can just like roll your own pencil cores. You can make just like graphite shapes that you can actually write and draw with. You can play with the ratios. It's a really fun exercise in really understanding how different ratios of clay and graphite create a different type of pencil. I think you should have like a make your own pencil contest and have the audience vote on who made the best pencil. You could wrap them in string, like 17th century style. You could roll them in paper, the many forms of pencil that are rolled in paper. You could do so many things with it. That could be really weird and fun.
That would be super, super. Okay, we're going to do that.
Do that.
I'm doing that. I hope they join me.
It's also just like for people who have kids, it's just like a fun thing to know that you can do. It's like, it's educational. It's pretty easy to clean up. It's super fun to just like mess with pencil guts. It just makes us like pencil clay. It's so fun. I did it with my friend's eighth grade art class. I went for a whole day at middle school art. And with every class, we did this. It was so fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So could you take that stuff and mold it into a shape and then bake it and keep that shape?
Ooh, you know what? I've not tried to bake it, but you could bake it, but it just air dries. Like it also just air dries and it's really firm and actually like surprisingly strong. It's pretty amazing what you can do if you just mix clay. Like I literally just bought the clay from my like international grocery store that has in there. I mean, I think it's Bangladeshi owned. So it has like a section that has a lot of like henna and powdered clays. And I forget which one I picked. I think I did pick kaolin clay, which is one of the correct clays to use for pencil making. And just bought it in a bag, used that Viarco Art Graph powdered graphite and just went to town. It's super fun. And it just air dries pretty quickly too.
Yeah, two things. I'm sure I'm not the only one who thought of the fun. Was it Funny or Die?
Yeah.
Video, right? Make your own pencils. And also, I just like halfway through when you're talking, I just imagined making my own pencil cores and then like putting it through a potato. Oh, gosh. This is bad.
It's carbon. It won't make you sick.
Yeah.
That's going to be the weirdest t-shirt we ever make. It's just going to be a potato with like a piece of graphite sticking out of it.
It's easy to sharpen, munch.
I get a paring. He's a paring or a peeling knife, like one of those that has like the line through the middle of it. And
yes.
Sharpen your potato pencil with it. Oh my gosh.
I'll always
sorry,
nick
guys.
My knuckles.
Yeah. Just took a turn.
So, and
but that's a great idea. I still think that's a super fun idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caitlin suggested a world stationery shop tour, which would be, that would be one hell of a Patreon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm up for it. We could walk. We could go on walkabout. We just need a year.
Yeah.
I just need a year.
Just need to fund our lives for a year. And
we'll go with our baking bowls. They're give us like a can
potatoes.
Of things more.
Keep us in potatoes so we can keep walking.
Keep us in potatoes and pencils, sir.
Yeah.
If we each carry 20 pounds of potatoes, it builds character.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Like that? I think Les's idea is really good. Just more artists and people talking about how they use their pencils. Like it's been a while since we've really had like people talking about, you know, their art or whatever. Like, wasn't since T Tina's been on talking about urban sketching, is it?
I think it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, I don't know anything about pencils and art, and I'm always afraid I'm going to ask the wrong questions and, like, yeah. really offend somebody who's very good at what they do. Like, hey, how do you sharpen on the go? Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. There's some secret that I don't know about. They don't use pencil sharpeners. They have magic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think you do pretty well on your feet in those kind. I think we'll learn, right? We'll learn together.
Yeah.
We'll learn more about this stuff.
Yeah.
I think we should start by having Les on to talk about art and use.
She has some really, like, her job nowadays is just really interesting. So
yeah, it's really cool to talk to her about it.
Yeah, let's get Les on.
And Brad, in our conversation, basically just said, like, just keep being yourselves, which I appreciated hearing from him, right? Like, that was nice to you. Just kind of keep doing what you're doing, like, as far as, like, keep talking the same way you do, like, having the same kind of engagement with each other. So,
yeah,
that was definitely,
validating
and just nice to hear. And it felt right, too. You know, it's just like, I mean, and all these ideas are really great. And I think we can do all these, we can do ideas like these and come up with new ideas and still just kind of remain our, ourselves.
Yeah, Brad's are kind of our podcasting sire, so good to hear hear what he thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should start planning our pencil-making world tour.
I think you're right.
Sure. We'll wear clothing that's made of potato sacks.
Mm-hmm.
We could do this. Potatoes are a good whole food.
Oh, that's true. Can't you survive off potatoes?
I mean, I can. I'm mostly Irish.
See, I have been since like 2004.
Yeah, just basically.
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian. Most of what I eat is potatoes or junk food. I guess there's some broccoli in there.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
So, what do you guys think going forward? What would you want to cover that we haven't covered? Now that like anything, no matter how crazy. Because we just said we'd never say it was crazy.
I mean, some of it, I think it would be cool to check in on some of the people who's been on before, like Les, like Dade, like Anna, people who, you know, haven't been on in a while and just kind of see what they've been up to. Because the world has changed since we've had just a lot of those folks on, right? Like, it's been, I don't think we've had Anna on since the pandemic.
Oh, geez.
And yeah, so we, a lot of different stuff going on in the world. So different stuff in our lives. Like, I think it'd be good to just bring on some of the old favorites. And then, we have, you know, there's a bunch of people I've had on the list, but we just never had on, like Ian Schoen. Like, I think that would still be a really good episode. Talking about Schoen design and just what he's been working on.
There's at least one on the list who passed away recently, relatively recently. Henry Petrosky.
We could have him on.
I could pretend to be him.
Oh, yeah. Remember how we had Thoreau on and it was just like somebody just like role-playing Thoreau? Like, maybe you can role-play cosplay Henry Petrosky.
I'm an idiot and I didn't tell him that when we were doing Skype, we were only doing audio. So he had like a whole outfit on.
That's right.
On a weeknight. Right. I'm like, damn, that's your job. And I made you do it at night.
On a weeknight.
But he was very patient.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So
how can we convince? How can we convince that guy and like a Hemingway impersonator and I don't know, like another impersonator to like do our April Fool's episode next year? Like just the three of them talking to each other, like Hemingway, Thoreau, and I don't know who would the last one be.
But we can't tell them that we're not going to be on ourselves. And we just like, no matter what you do, you can't break character. And so they get on the call and just like, oh, this is Ernest. Who are you? It's like, oh, this is Henry.
Hank. We could do it in character. Hemingway had a kind of high-pitched voice. I could be Hemingway. I like to cuss. And
see how long they last. Oh my gosh. It would be like the weirdest Hunger Games ever. Yeah.
Maybe we can get some like AIs to do it.
We could do an entire episode with our mouths full of potatoes.
Yeah, perfect. Mm. Yeah,
we got a cookbook idea now.
Potatoes and pencils.
That would actually be really good. We should do that.
Get a potato cookbook zine. that.
Oh yeah,
I was thinking that Ed's done a couple recipe zines that were like really good. I mean, his zines are always really good, but
yeah,
recipes I don't find interesting, but I found Ed's very interesting.
Yeah,
I always thought it'd be fun to do an episode about pencil clips, but man, that'd be really hard to talk about for too long, or it'd be hard to do in under 3 hours. One of the two.
Just go really not sure deep which. On. Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I bought some on eBay, the guy sent me extra ones. He's like, I found these in my mom's desk, and they were things I'd never seen before. I'm like, what in the hell did your mother do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, she has these.
She had that guy. Like,
no. I wonder if he's still alive. These things were really old if they were his mom's. I don't think he was a young guy.
Yeah.
One thing I've thought about doing in the future is revisiting some of the sort of more like rudimentary topics that we talked about 9 years ago, you know, knowing what we know now and knowing what's available now. Like, we had episodes where we talked about all kinds of stuff and kind of did like a 101 sort of like examining some category for the first time. And then we, moved on. Like, and so now to like do that again, not all of them, but just a handful of them, just to like revisit them. If sort of the landscape around them has totally changed, that'd be really, really interesting to talk about those again.
Yeah.
With like renewed opinions and points of view and all that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It would be cool to talk to someone from Cal Cedar about the cedar shortage. It was something to do with regulation and crops. Charles said, and it was complicated. I didn't understand it at all. But a lot of companies moved away from cedar and they don't really have any incentive to go back.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to buy more Ticonderogas if they suddenly start smelling good.
Yeah.
And the whatever they use now stinks terrible.
Asswood?
I don't think it's even that. It's some kind
of pine. I think you got there just a little bit. Just for a second. Yeah. cut out one letter. The Zencaster just cut out one letter. You said basswood, right?
Yeah.
No, I thought you were talking about Swisswood.
No.
You had the PG setting on the AI.
I did.
Yeah. I mean, if folks who are listening have ideas, like, I'm sure we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
Like, even if you think it's like completely nuts, so I was making a pencil podcast about pencils. So,
yeah, we'll talk about anything. We'll talk about potatoes, whatever.
And then a Dungeons and Dragons campaign based on a podcast about pencils.
Exactly. We'll just do that.
It was so fun.
Yeah. We'll go anywhere we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have my little dice bag. I look at it fondly. I'm like, man, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Just playing that.
That was fun.
Let's do that again.
I would do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We did do that in real life with some potatoes and potato based spirits. This is the most hungry episode we've had so far. hungry.
I'm gonna go. Crank up the air fryer.
I don't have any potatoes.
Well, it's cool to have just talk to Brad and Caitlin and Les and Caroline, just kind of hear what they're thinking. So thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, it would have been cool to fit us all in, but also,
yeah,
a lot of people. Bonkers. Yeah, but they were all very, very kind with sharing their time. And like really,
I was gonna say very good sports.
So thank you to our quote-unquote guests who are guests without guesting.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, no worries. I always enjoy chatting with you and Andy and Tim. Even though they're not here right now, it's, I enjoy having these conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully we get to see you and the other two guys in person here sometime soon.
Well, Erasable is my most favorite pencil podcast in the whole entire world because I just adore the three hosts.
And before we wrap it up, Andy has something that he wants to mention that is super cool.
So we teased it maybe a little bit in the last episode, but for our 10th anniversary, we had a little Patreon gift for our $10 a month supporters. And it was a very cool bag. It is a Musette bag, which I guess is... it's a French bag. It's a tote bag that has kind of a longer strap and just a single strap instead of like the two on each side. And they're made by our friends at Rickshaw Bags here in San Francisco. And it's just really, really cool. It's very handy. I got one that was made by Rickshaw for the San Francisco Pen Show last year, and I just used it so much. And I was like, this is perfect. We should make this for the show. So I had that idea kind of mashed up with something else that was neat, which was that my girlfriend's father painted a, he's an artist, and he made, just because I think he was amused by my love of pencils, he painted a painting of the Washington Monument, and it was a pencil.
And the cherry blossoms.
Yeah. It's lovely. And at one point he texted Eric, and he was like, does Andy have a sense of humor about iconic U.S. monuments? And she was like, yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes.
He's Canadian.
He jokes about him all the time.
Yeah. So he's Canadian. So he painted this, and it was just really just unexpected and lovely. And he's, you know, an artist. So I had it on my shelf for a while. And then at some point I was just like, this is so cool. I want to turn this into a thing, into a bag. So if you go to erasable.us/bag, you can see some of the process shots of this. Like, I took that down to, I live like two blocks from the rickshaw factory. And he basically just took a picture of the art with his phone, and he ran that through some software and printed it and sewed it up. It's really cool. You can see some pictures of it. And we have some left over. So if you're listening and you did not get a bag through Patreon, like first, too late to do that. But if you go to erasable.us/bag, you can buy one of your own. And we still have some available for sale, but not for long. So yeah, get yourself a erasable bag. And oh, and it also, I put the really cool hand-drawn logo that Ali Sarah made us. And we had some stickers and some t-shirts from a few years ago. So that is also on the bag. So thank you to Herb Kwan and to Ali Sarah and to Rickshaw Bags and everybody kind of involved in and putting this thing together.
And thank you to the folks who received those bags, who are also producers of this podcast. So super thanks to Ellen, Mac Tucker, Nathan Raybeck, Dana Morris, Liz Rotundo, Jan Ringgold, Melissa Miller, Angie, Aaron Bollinger, Elvin Hirntis, Tara Whittle, Ida Umfers, David Johnson, Phil Munson, Donnie Pierce, Valerie Drew, Tom Keekley, Andre Torres, Paul Moorhead, William Maudlin, John Capuletti, or Capuletti, I'm sorry, John, Stephen Fransali, Aaron Willard, Millie Blackwell, Michael Diolosa, Tana Feliz, Ann Seip, Michael Hagen, Chris Metzkis, Mary Collis, Kathleen Rogers, Hans Noodleman, and John Wood.
Thank you all.
In the wee small hours, under dim-lit lights, I sit at my desk with dreams in my sights. I take my pencil, my pride, and my joy, crafting chords with love, just like a little boy. I sharpen the lathe smooth as a caress. With skill and precision, I'll make my heart express. A potato waits soft and golden brown. I slip in the core and my heart's never found. Oh, I make my own pencils, believe what I say. Stick them in a potato, it's a work of art. They say with every stroke, the dreams come to life. A potato pencil, a muse to my strife. In the wee small hours under dim-lit lights, I sit at my desk with dreams in my sights. I take my pencil, my pride, and my joy, crafting chords with love, just like a little boy.